Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Psalm, chapter 12, and verse number 1. I'm going to preach a rather unusual message this morning, and I'm going to use two words that I think say it all, really. In Psalm 12, verse number 1, the verse says, "Help, Lord." Now, there's more in that verse. In fact, let me go ahead and read the rest of that verse. But I want to preach this morning on the subject, "Help, Lord." The Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." But again, the words, "Help, Lord." Every single one of us came to church with that prayer on our heart. We came here today for that reason. We came, first of all, to get help. We came also realizing that our helper is the Lord. That's why you have churches. That's why we're here today. That's basically the motivation behind the reason why we attend church. Now, I know that perhaps in some religious situations, that may not be the direct intent, because sometimes religion has clouded people's minds. They don't understand. But yet here, we came today with a prayer on our heart, "Help, Lord." We're here needing help. Saved people need help. They need the Lord to help them. They need salvation. And saved people need help. If every one of us would re-examine our motive and understand that that is the basic reason why we have church, I think today we will really have church. And we will leave here today having received help from the Lord. But let's pray. Our Father, this morning as we come to the throne of grace, we do so with thanksgiving. We rejoice today in your presence. We thank you for the music that's warmed our hearts. We pray today for the names that's been called out on the prayer list. Without mentioning them any further, Lord, you know who they are. And you know, Father, what's needed today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that even now as we give our time and our attention to the Word of God and focus on these two words, I just pray this morning that, Father, everything about us will translate into this prayer, "Help, Lord." And, Father, we know that you're on the giving end. Help us to be receivers. Help us, Lord, to recognize the help that is available. And help us, Lord, to reach out and claim today what we need. I pray that lost people might get saved. I pray that your people, all of us, might get help from the Lord and get closer. Now bless us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, life, when you stop and think about it, is comparable to a computer. You know, a computer can crash, sometimes overload with data, other reasons, a virus or whatever can happen. And sometimes a computer will crash, which means at that point of time, until the problem is rectified, the computer has no use until it's restored to where it ought to be. Life, in a sense, is somewhat like that. Sometimes our lives, in a sense, need to be shut down and rebooted. We become overrun with things that happen. We're inundated with problems. We're inundated with cares. We have so much sometimes that comes at us. We just can't sort it out. And in a sense, we need to shut down and be rebooted spiritually. I think it's important today that we understand that when it comes to church service, we basically have come looking for help. We all need help. None of us today have totally put everything together. None of us today we're far from perfect, for one thing. But today, we all stand in need of something from God. And the good thing about it is God's always in the process of helping His people and of meeting people's needs. But the problem many times is the fact that people will not receive what God has for them. The Lord is the giver. But are we the receiver? Are we really receiving what God would have us to receive? Those two words, help, Lord. I'm amazed that all of the years I have preached, I've never actually focused on this verse and focused on these two words, though that is really what it's all about. I mean, really, when it comes to everything about our lives, when it comes to praying, when it comes to anything, it's about reaching out and saying, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Now, there are two simple words that unfortunately is a doorway to despair. And those words are, who cares? And many lives have been ruined. My brother's grandson must have reached that state when he took his life in the last day or so. So the words, who cares, has been a pathway to despair. But the words, help Lord, is a pathway to victory, if properly followed up on. And I want to challenge us all today. Have we come to this church service really with that prayer in our mind and upon our heart, help Lord? I hope we have. Many times, we're at loss in what to pray. And the best we can do is cry out, help Lord. It is amazing when you stop and think about it, the depth of doctrinal devotion or the depth of prayer doctrine that can be found in these two simple words. These simple words are, yes, they're very simplified, but they teach the simple fact that we're helpless, we need help, and that our help comes from the Lord. That's what they teach. We're helpless. We need help. And our help cometh from the Lord. Those two words say all of that when you stop and think about it. Psalm 70, verse number 5 says, thou art my help and my deliverer. David was in a time of trouble. And David cries out to God for help. You could say he was stumped. There were two people that really caused David a lot of grief. Two people that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of Saul, the king. Saul became envious. Saul became jealous. And Saul literally tried to kill David. And don't you know David was in despair as he had to flee from Saul. And then I'm thinking of someone that was really close to David. And that was his son Absalom. Absalom wanted to seize the throne. Absalom wanted to be in control. And Absalom himself, David's son, caused David to go through a time of despair. Help, Lord. Let me today just mention some simple points. Notice the prayer itself. Notice the prayer. The prayer is short. The prayer is seasonable. And the prayer is sincere. It's short. I think of a passage of Scripture that says Jesus wept. That was short. But I'll tell you, that said it all. Here we see this prayer is short. This prayer is seasonable. This prayer was in reference to what David was currently experiencing. It was a prayer that was associated with his season, with where he was, with what was going on in his life, with the threats that he perceived. This threat was seasonable. This prayer was seasonable. This prayer was sincere. He cries out. It's coming from the heart. He means it internally. He is internalizing this prayer. He's crying out, help, Lord. Sincere. Life's emergencies. Sometimes forces us to reduce praying to simplest forms. Sometimes we don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to verbalize our thoughts. But we can be thankful the Holy Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We can be thankful that sometimes in the midst of our confusion, when we cannot properly get our thoughts together, when we cannot organize our thoughts, yet I believe that God still hears. And I believe there's much wealth in simply two words, "Help, Lord." How many times have we had to pray those two-word prayers, "Help, Lord"? You know, sometimes we might not be in much of a praying mood. Sometimes we may not be prone to long praying. In fact, sometimes people are not prone to long sermons. It's been said that the best sermon has two points, and both of them points are as close together as you can get them. David's prayer came out of an emergency. This prayer came out from his heart. This prayer was related to a perceived threat. It was related to a perceived problem. He cries out in an emergency. This little boy one time, his dad says, "Stay away from the water. Stay away from the water, boy. Or son, don't go near the water." He goes down to the lake. He starts messing around. Next thing you know, a wave takes him out. And the little boy's in trouble. He starts crying out for help. His father comes running down to the shore and sees his son out there. And his father stands on the bank and begins to lecture his son. He said, "I told you about being near the water. I told you not to be swimming in the water." And that little boy said, "Dad, save me first and then lecture me later." And you know, drowning people need to be rescued. If we could only realize this morning the emergency situation we're in. If we could realize this morning the threats we're facing. If we could realize this morning how very quickly the foundation from beneath our feet can be swept out from under us. And God has a way of reducing us to a bare minimum, to where we are brought to realize we need the Lord. We need help, and we need the Lord to provide the help. I tend to believe that sometimes, that praying sometimes can be short. Prayers need to be sincere, and prayers need to be simple, and prayers need to be focused. I believe sometimes we need to cut to the chase. And when it comes to the matter of praying, I think we need to cut to the chase and have focus when we pray. When we pray, and this is just a little simple thought along the line of prayer doctrine, I guess you could say. When we pray, we don't need to impress God with our prayers. We don't need, when we pray, to preach a sermon. We don't need, when we pray, to give a history lesson. We don't need, when we pray, to get off on a rabbit path. We just need to pray for what we're praying for. For example, when we take up an offering, when we pray for the offering, we pray for the offering. When we pray for missionaries, we pray for the missionary. I've known people sometimes, and this is a teaching moment. I've known people sometimes that don't understand prayer. They go into a sermon. No, prayer is crying out in desperation. Sometimes people praying, they're praying. I was walking down the road the other day. I run across a man, and that man seemed to have some problems in his life. And I went up to that man and I asked him, "Could I help you?" And then we began a conversation and we talked on and on. You get to point, sometimes people get sidetracked. We're not listening for a sermon. We're not listening for a history lesson. When we pray, it's a desperate person crying out to God, sensing a desperate need. "Help, Lord. Help, Lord." I've been in preachers' meetings, and preachers have prayed. And you hear more theology, and sometimes they're praying. They're praying, they're hitting down, they're touching down in every doctrinal issue. They're describing the horns in Daniel. They're describing who the Antichrist is. They go into great detail. I don't see prayer that way. I see prayer as me talking to the Father. I know that I need something from God, and I'm saying, help, Lord. It's not necessarily how long we pray, but how fervent we pray. David said in the morning, I will direct my prayer unto you. Another point in the matter of prayer is prayers are directed to the Lord. They're directed to the Lord. I heard of a time that this man one time was prayed and said he uttered a prayer. And he really wasn't being a smart aleck. But someone come up to him at the end of the service and said, I didn't like what you said in that prayer. Or maybe, and I've heard it another way too. The person's praying, someone comes up and says, I really appreciate your prayer. And of course, thank God when people are edified through a prayer. But the response that this person gave was this, thank you. But I really was talking to the Lord though. I was addressing my prayer to the Lord. I'm glad that you're blessed, but I was talking to the Lord. And you know, that's what prayer is. It's talking to the Lord. I mean, it's great when people may be blessed as we pray. And sometimes public praying gets off on a sideline a little bit. But let's remember, we're talking to the Lord. We see the prayer, help, Lord. Secondly, we notice the problem. Help. Help. We have a problem. We need help. The question comes up, how does God help us? How does He help us? Now, I mentioned computer a few minutes ago. Let me download some few. I knew Cheryl would appreciate that. Let me download a few practical points. How does God help us? You ever wondered? If I'd asked for a show of hands this morning, how many of you were praying for something and God sent an angel down? No hands, right? Or I was praying for something and happened to look up in the sky and there was a message in bold print written across the cloud. No hands, right? How does God help us? Well, I'm about to share something with you this morning that is simple but yet profound. It is so simple that people trip over it. It's that simple. And sometimes that's the way it is. Simple things cause people to trip. It's just like being saved. Being saved is so simple a child can be saved. But look at the brilliant minds that trip over it. How does God help? When I say help, Lord, how does God help? You know, we're expected to run the race as pilgrims. We're expected to fight the fight as warriors. We're expected to plow the fields as husbandmen. We're expected to build the walls as laborers together with God. But you remember the old proverb, He helps those who help themselves. We don't help God to save us. That's not how we're saved, is it? But do you know, though, that God does expect us to do some things. If we do some things, some practical things, His help comes to us through practical exercise. When we cry help, we don't expect the Lord to send an angel down to assist us. But He does give some resources for us to pick up and to use. If I was a carpenter and you hired me to do a carpenter job at your house, which you'll never do, I know that for a fact. I can't do anything right, hardly, around the house. But that's another bit of humor for another time. But if I showed up and announced that I was a carpenter, you'd expect me to bring a box of tools, wouldn't you? You'd expect me to show up on a job with tools. You ready for this? There are five practical tools that God can help a Christian. When I say help, Lord, there are five practical tools that God gives us. They are so simple, many church members trip over them. Here they are. Prayer. Is that profound? Bible study. Isn't that profound? Church attendance. Stewardship. And witnessing. The five biggies. More people trip over those resources of tools than anything else. We say, help, Lord. And we don't use those tools. You know, the old gospel song says, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now. Oh, we sure do need Him now. We need Him every day and every hour. We need Him in the morning. We need Him at night. We need Him in the noonday when the sun is shining bright. Help, Lord. God gives us help through the Word of God as we read it and study it. God gives us help through church attendance as we fellowship together and are taught the Bible and reinforce one another as we encourage one another in the Lord and we build one another up by being under the Word of God, not only just to hear the Bible, but we desperately need one another to reinforce, to encourage us, and church attendance provides those needs. Bible study, prayer. Oh, how we need to work on our prayer life. And when we pray, we're saying, I'm weak and God's strong. When we're praying, we're saying, there's too much going on, I can't begin to tackle it. But I know someone that can. And when we pray, we're lifting up people in intercessory prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do, because He prayed for the disciples and we see Him setting that example. Bible study, church attendance, prayer, and then stewardship. We use wisely the resources that God has given us. He blesses us with things. We dedicate those things to His glory. And again, I've said this many times, and honestly, usually when I touch on this issue, it's just making a point, it's not preaching a sermon, but tithing is Bible. And God blesses people that do give. And I have to say that because it's in the Scriptures. Christians need to tithe at least 10% of their basic income. And then it really gets good when you go beyond that, because the tithe is already the Lord's anyway. And again, I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. But you got some folks that maybe still need to hear that. And it's good that we still teach it every now and then. And then, what about witnessing? What about witnessing? When we involve ourselves in witnessing, God is helping us. He is. Because to witness, we need to study the Bible. To witness, we need to pray. And when we see someone saved, my goodness, our spiritual life really takes a boost. And as we give, as God gives us, we give it out. Witnessing. Witnessing. We fail so oftentimes, but it's easy. It really is easy to stick a tract in your pocket and pass it out, leave it on the table. I mean, witnessing. I'm saying today, when we say, help, Lord, God says, use the five basics. And I'll help you through doing those things. Amen? Y'all expecting some kind of a great deep sermon where the preacher goes down deep and comes up dry and everybody's dry? No, it's as simple as five simple things. God helps us through our using the practical things that He tells us to do. We notice the prayer. We notice the problem. We notice the provision. In order to receive the provision, we need to know the provider, and He's the Lord. You got to know the provider. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him as your Lord, as your Savior? When you say, help, Lord, first of all, it needs to start have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me, Lord. It needs to start with a sinner's prayer. And then you become his child. And then you can say, help, Lord, and it takes on added meaning. I prefer to request help from people I know, don't you? Why not seek help from those with invested interest? A friend, a parent, a brother, a sister. People with invested interest. Don't you find it easier to go to people with invested interest rather than go to a stranger? Now, what about this? The Lord. Help, Lord. I'm here to say this morning that God has made His own His children. Look at the invested interest that God has made in our salvation. He's invested in our salvation. The invested interest. What about the cross of Christ? What about the blood that was shed? What about the provision on Calvary? Wouldn't you say that's an invested interest? Since God has invested so much in the salvation of a sinner, why should we but not be able to go to Him and say, help, Lord, because He's Father and I'm His child. But sinner friend, it has to start out with this prayer, not simply help, Lord, but save, Lord. The wonderful thing is this. The Christian doesn't have to pray around the world to have a basic need met. Two words, again, say it all. Help, Lord. This prayer, by the way, I was thinking about this. This prayer is almost like the MREs in the military. They're good any time. They're good at any season. You can open up a box of those MREs in the dead of summer or in the cold of winter, and they still... Oh, I know you military guys. You know they're not so appetizing. Back when I was in the military, I learned this long time ago. A little Texas Pete kills a multitude of sin. If I didn't like something, I just put a little Texas Pete on it. And I was able to handle it. But you know, help, Lord, is just like those MREs. It works anytime. Driving down Interstate 40, help, Lord. We hear somebody that's issued a prayer request, help, Lord. I mean, on and on. I feel bad, help, Lord. I'm hurting today, help, Lord. So-and-so has a problem, help, Lord. The Lord helps when situations seem hopeless. Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. And I'm talking now about her brother. He's been dead 4 days. Well, now that would really be a good opportunity for God to really show His power and miracle-working power. Just let the man be dead 4 days. And I mean, when He raises Lazarus then, after being dead 4 days, there's no doubt about it, God had to be in that. And I'll tell you, when our situation seemed the most hopeless, help, Lord, still works. God is not frustrated. God is not blindsided. God is not incapable. God is not unaware. God knows fully every single need that we have. And help, Lord, is what He wants to hear. You know, when it comes to the matter of restriction on prayer, to say, help, Lord, I don't need to be a scholar. I don't need to be a rich person. I don't need to be a powerful person. But there's one restriction to that prayer. And you know what it is? It's humility. It is humility. The sacrifice of God, our broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I think behind a sincere, fervent prayer, there has to be a humble person who realizes that they really aren't as big as they thought they were all along. We're just a bunch of little sinners needing the help of a great God. That's what we are. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I like that verse. You know, the devil likes to tell us that our situation is such that God can't help us. But remind the devil of this. Remind him that God's mercies are new every day. Remind him that with new problems comes new mercies. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The phases of His mercy are as numerous as the phases of our grief. He's helped in the past. Thank God He'll help today. We can expect His help because He's a covenant-keeping God. He's bound to help His child. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Have you ever thought about this? It would be a negative reflection upon His power, upon His promise, and upon His love if He failed us now. And then finally, there's the promise. I don't have time to develop this because time is staring me in the face and I don't like what I see. But in Psalm 12, you will notice in verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure. Let me simply keep it down to this. God has given us the inspired, preserved Word of God, which is a means that a promise from the Word of God is sure and settled. Psalm 89:34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips." Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I'm saying today we have the promise of God to back up God's provision. His word is settled. I think.